Welcome. This is the first of what will be a regular podcast on the theme of shamanism, and a few other deviations that go off from that subject. My name is Nicholas Breezewood. I live in Pembrokeshire in West Wales, and as this is the first of the series of podcasts, I think it would be quite nice to do a little bit about who I am and introduce myself. I live in a very small village, a hamlet really, by the name of Aberkeich, which means the end of the river, the end of the river Keech. It's a very magical valley. It's right on the borders of Pembrokeshire, between Pembrokeshire and Carmarthenshire and Ceredigion. And its river flows down a long valley of about 8 miles thereabouts until it reaches another river, which is the River Tyvee, which is just down the road from where I live. And then the River Tyvee enters into the sea at Cardigan, Abertyvee. The Keech Valley is a very magical place. In the very ancient Welsh epic story, the Mabinogion, the valley is the entrance to fairyland. It's the entrance to the other world. And there are supposedly many portals and strange entrances to other realms in this valley. There's also a legend of a cave at the top end of the valley in which knights sleep, very much like the Arthurian legend. Knights sleep who are waiting to be needed to defend this place against invasion. So it's a good place to live. It's a very otherworldly place to live, and the whole area around here has still got quite a lot of the old fairy faith, the folk tradition of working with the little people. I've been involved in shamanism, I suppose, for about 25 years, thereabouts, but I guess I'd been doing it all my life, really. It felt very appropriate to me when I was a teenager to do ceremonies to the Four Directions. It was all kind of done on instinct. I didn't really know what I was doing. I kind of made it up as I went along, and then subsequently discovered that really what I was doing was pretty much the stuff that I should have been doing, kind of fairly traditional in many ways. I'm 47 now, nearly 48 in fact. I'm the co-editor of Sacred Hoop magazine, which is an international magazine on shamanism. I co-edit that with my partner Jan Morganwood, the painter. And you can discover things about the Sacred Hoop magazine if you wish to by visiting the Sacred Hoop website, which is sacredhoop.org. Incidentally, my own website is nicholaswood.net. I'm fairly well known as a craftsperson in the UK and outside of the UK too. I've been making medicine objects for people for a long time. I do a lot of beadwork, I make drums, I make rattles, I teach workshops on the subject, and most of the stuff that I do is very much based on Native American traditional objects. I've been extremely lucky in my life to have been able to look at very closely original 19th and early 20th century Native American craft objects. I've been able to handle these things and see how they're constructed and get a real feel for them in my hand, and that is something I'm extremely grateful about, because it's inspired me very much as a craftsperson. Now, saying that I make a lot of sort of Native American inspired things, my shamanic practice is in part Native American based and is in part Mongolian based and is in part Tibetan based, and I'm also a Tibetan Buddhist in the Nyingmapa tradition. I live here. I live in an incredibly beautiful place. It's, for me, an extremely special place, the county of Pembrokeshire. It's a very ancient place. The whole of the landscape is scattered with ancient sacred sites, stone circles, standing stones, cromlechs, 4,000-5,000 years old. It's very ancient. It's a very magical and inspirational place. For those of you who don't know Pembrokeshire at all, it's very much a peninsula. It sticks out into the little bit of the ocean. Well, it's the Atlantic Ocean, really. It sticks out into the little bit of sea that's underneath Ireland. So there's quite a lot of dramatic scenery here. There are mountains, which are not very high on the scale of things. They're called the Preseli Mountains. I live in the foothills of those. And I guess if you imagine mountains, you're going to imagine great big peaks. These aren't great big peaks, but they're still mountains and they're very magical. They are, in fact, where the blue stones from Stonehenge come from. And there are some theories that Stonehenge was actually a recreation of much earlier sacred sites from this part of the world. Now, although I'm involved in all of those different traditions, I feel that it's important to say that I live here on this land in Pembrokeshire, in Britain, and I consider myself to be working with the spirits here and the energies here. My attitude is, and always has been, that, and some people may disagree with this, but I consider that the traditions of Britain really don't very much exist anymore. Okay, there are pagan ways, there are druidic ways, but most of these ways are reconstructions, either from the 18th or 19th century. And so they have never spoken to me, they have never really enthralled me, made me want to explore them. I'm sure there are other ancient traditions that still lie around in Britain, but those ways are very hard to find, and the people who keep those traditions keep them extremely close to their chest. I remember some years ago, Jan and I were looking at the possibility of forming a medicine community, a shamanic community, with one of our teachers at the time, a dear friend called Leo Rutherford. And we were looking at farms in Mid Wales, 50 or 60 miles north of where I am now. And we came to this one farm that we were looking at, and we had all the estate agents' particulars about it. And we're talking to the farmer, and he bundled us into the back of his Land Rover, and he was taking us across these sort of rolling hills and showing us all the land. And we came back to the farmhouse and went into the farmyard, and he decided that it was time to show us the barn. So we went up into the loft above one of the barns, an old building I remember, and there was a central wooden pillar supporting the roof, and nailed to the pillar was a dead hare. It was just skin and bones, literally. You could see the bones sticking out of the fur. And me being me, I kind of took a bit of an interest in this, and I looked at it for a little while, and then the farmer was telling us about the storage capacity and all this sort of stuff. And I sort of quietly said to him, "What's that then?" And he sort of said, "Oh, nothing. Just something the kids did. Kind of, come on, let's go and look at the other barn." And we were ushered out of there as fast as you can possibly imagine. Those ways continue. They are there. This was only a few years ago. But finding someone who will talk to you about it is very difficult. So my traditional ways, if you like, have always been to work with the land here, to work with the spirits here, and to be taught by people who work with the spirits and the land in their own ways. I have no wish to be a Native American. I am not a Native American. My DNA is not Native American. My DNA is mostly Welsh. The middle part of my name, Breeze, is an anglicized Welsh family name, which is Ap Rhys, which is Welsh for Ap is son of, and Rhys is prince or royalty. That's my Welsh family name on my mother's side. The Native American teachers and the other teachers that I've worked with very much have taken the attitude of, you guys, you had these teachings, you had these ways, you threw them away, you lost them. We're giving them back. And that's the way it is for me. I have not been to America. I've been to Panama. That's the closest I've been. I don't feel any need to go and work in Monument Valley or in the Black Hills or wherever, because I live here. What I'm going to be talking about in these podcasts is the way that I work in these lands. These podcasts are going to be a bit about what I do as a shamanic practitioner. They're going to include the odd sort of rant about various bits of shamanic practice. They will probably include the odd interview. As the joint editor of Sacred Hoop magazine, I get to talk to some very interesting people, and in my collection there are various tapes which I will put onto here at some point, or at least snippets, so that you can hear some of the interviews that I've done in my time with people. There's also going to be bits about music. I'm very much a musician. I'm involved in medieval music and have a great love of it, so you're going to hear little bits and pieces of that. Incidentally, the music that you can hear playing at the moment is a 14th century Italian tune called La Manfredina, and it's being played by an English group called the Defy Collective, who I saw live once, and it was a very, very wonderful concert. All of the music on this podcast is available from Magnatune. Magnatune are a record company that enable you to download and use recordings in podcasts for no charge, and you can also listen to the entire album before you buy it, and I've just discovered them and I think they're rather good. Magnatune.com, magnatune.com. A little bit more about me. As a musician, I collect stringed instruments, mostly Arabic and Central Asian instruments, which are very close, in fact sometimes identical, to medieval European instruments. Europe didn't really have musical instruments until the Europeans met the Arabs and the Moors too, who came to Spain, of course. It was the Arabic nations that invented the guitar and the harp and the lute and the bagpipes and just about anything that we play in the West nowadays. They all have their origins in Arabic instruments. So before the Crusades and before the Moorish conquest of Spain, I guess we were just banging those rocks together. To be nerdy for a moment or two, I'm recording this podcast just very simply on a mini disc recorder and then just transferring the sound to God's own computer, an Apple Mac, where I'm editing it and converting it to MP3 so that it can become the podcast. When I was a child, my brothers had a pirate radio station. This was in the heady days of the late 60s, when such things were very, very trendy. And I think I made my first radio broadcast with them when I was about 8 or 9, something like that. And they continued to do that for quite some time until they got busted by the police for doing it, because of course in those days it was highly illegal. Nowadays, with the wonderful technology of the internet, the whole world could potentially hear what I'm saying. But I'm not quite sure that there's still the same buzz there, seeing as it's so legal nowadays, but oh well, such is life. Other things about me, I'm the author of 2 books. The one book is called Voices from the Earth, and the other book is called The Book of the Shaman. Voices from the Earth is available from my website, nicholaswood.net, and The Book of the Shaman is available from Amazon and other similar places. What I'm wanting to do with this podcast really is to explore different aspects of shamanic practice, and I would very much like your feedback about that. There will be times when I'll discuss some of the things that I've been doing. There will be times when I may take this wonderful small mini disc recorder and go and visit locations in Pembrokeshire and other places and describe what's happening and perhaps describe ceremonies that are being held there, as well as including interviews, as I said a little earlier on. I would really like to hear from anybody that's listening to this podcast and receive comments about it and possibly questions too and ideas for subjects to be covered in it. This is very much a beginning and the podcasts will develop over the next few weeks and months. My email address is nick@sacredhoop.org and it would be really, really nice to have feedback. So I think that's probably about all I need to say for this first podcast, and I'll say goodbye at this point and leave you to enjoy the last bits of this wonderful piece of music.